Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Interesting song, Eddie Money. Give me some water, all about the border. Anyway, welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Go to katedalyradio.com and also Twitter and Facebook, The Kate Daly Show. Find me there and join up. And also, I can't wait to hear from you as well. You can message me. I welcome you back. Thanks, Colonel Rob Manis, for coming on. And, of course, Uncle Milty's with me. I just wanted to mention, with Colonel Manis being in the military, Do you remember the story we talked about? Because we had Andrea Gallagher on. Her husband was thrown into prison as a decorated, well, now a veteran, but a decorated military, a military guy over 20-year career for killing an ISIS. He was accused of killing an ISIS guy as the guy lay dying. Okay, so he was thrown in the brig and put in solitary and treated pretty inhumanely, trying to get ready for his case. Well, Trump stepped him. So he got treated. He got sent to a different facility. Then, if you remember, I think a week or two ago, it was talked about where the prosecutors were accused of tracking him, tracking his emails, and I mean doing so many unconstitutional things against him, that it went to court. The judge freed him until the trial, and it might even be thrown out. So I just want to let everybody know that the goings on of federal and state prosecutors and the despicable human beings that they are and how they seem to love power and they seem to do quite unconstitutional things to harm people's lives to get the outcome that they want. Those things are coming to light. And I'm really glad for that. They need to come to light. And what's sad about it is only a portion of what they're doing is coming to light. But I'm really hoping that we see a surge of this go on. I saw it in the Bundy case where the prosecutors were found to be doing things that were so awful. And it came to light in court that there was no other choice. You had to. They were lying. You had to dismiss the case with prejudice, which means with prejudice means that they are actually showcasing the lies and the unconstitutional behavior from prosecutors. So this is why I totally abhor federal and state prosecutors. Because I see a lot of activity like this, even in the small cases we don't talk about. And I just wanted to mention in Gallagher's case, he should have never, ever been sent to prison. No. And this was an accusation from a couple of guys that were kind of out to get him that were newbies and didn't like the way he, he had control over those troops the platoon and they didn't like how he did it. And so all of a sudden these accusations came up and he was thrown into prison.
Yeah, well,
it's really sad.
It is really sad, but I think no matter what happens, if he even would happen to be convicted, I think the president will pardon him.
Yeah, I do too. And my hope is that more of this happens, more of this comes out, because it's needed to come out for a long time. And there have been a lot of people like Schaefer Cox sitting in prison there in Illinois that should have never been sent to prison. And these poor guys, I mean, they're at risk of getting murdered consistently in their stays. And it's just a tough situation all around because the cases were created by the prosecution, not even prosecuted incorrectly, which they were also created. So.
Well, it also points out that our justice, our judicial branch has an issue.
Right, right.
I mean, they're really not, in many, many cases, doing their job.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to mention that. Facial recognition, you're going to see a lot of that on the border. We were just talking about the border with Colonel Rob Manis. That being on the border now is going to, in my thought, they have facial recognition now at a New York public school, and they have facial recognition at the airport. And now they're trying to push it at the border, and I think to make everybody feel okay with facial recognition. technology because they're saying they're using it responsibly. And then that's supposed to flip us on the issue and make it seem like, oh, well, we want it on the border, so we want it at all these other places. I just wanted to mention that because of the manipulation I'm seeing in the media because of facial recognition.
Well, if you really think about it, facial recognition on the border isn't going to help anything.
Right, exactly.
because they have nowhere to put these people. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not in the system.
When they catch them, they need to be able to kick them right back out.
Yeah.
Not let them loose in the United States.
Right.
And that's where our issue is right
see,
now.
See, we share information with five countries, so they really should have like a Five Eyes station just to really point out the madness surrounding data and the storage of data. But facial recognition, oh, man, used responsibly, if that isn't the most ironic statement you've ever heard. But they really are pushing that on the border now, and that's a shame. Let's take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. 888-673-1450. How are you?
Oh, it's a good day.
Good.
In a perfect world, facial recognition at the border would help round them up.
Mm-hmm.
They're spreading them around the country, and nobody knows who they are. But if they have facial recognition technology, they can say, "Hold it, come here, you. You know, you do you have a driver's license? Whatever." They could identify people and boot them out, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm dreaming here, but maybe it'll happen.
We'd have to have that data from these other countries, which would be very, I mean, we're putting it against our own database and maybe the Five Eyes community. But the problem is that those countries are not Five Eyes, and so some of them. And so then what?
Well, what's the fault with giving them back to the country that gave them to us?
Yeah.
Say Mexico, you figure it out.
Right, right. Well,
At least it gives them a start. I mean, if they're going to facial recognize anybody, do it to people who are hiding.
Right. But
us who are out in the open. So I'm just spinning this in the perfect world. Maybe Trump can get away with doing the right thing here and booting these people out because they don't belong.
Right. But then again, the other problem is that if we permit it there, we permit it everywhere. And I don't think we want that to bite us in the rear end.
No, I'm just saying it's happening. If it's happening in a bad place, it's good to see it, for me, at least happening in a place that might be useful to us as citizens. Because everywhere else is just more Big Brother, right?
Right.
Yeah, I get you.
But hence my point. Yeah, see? Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's my whole point, is that we concede to say, well, it's on the border, it's okay, then we're okay with it everywhere.
Yeah, I'm not real thrilled about a school district starting to use facial recognition.
I'm not either.
They're going to scan the students and faculty.
And have a lifelong facial recognition with minors turning into adults. I foresee problems with this.
Was it in Minority Report where through facial recognition they were able to track him wherever he was going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gee, I remember. What was it? Gosh, it had a date on it. Jeez, what was it? There's lots of things out there like this that talk about what our future was going to hold, and this was one of them, and it's really pathetic that we are enticed into it in numerous ways.
Well, it's really hard to have freedom without having some semblance of anonymity.
Yeah. Yeah.
If everyone can follow you around no matter what you're doing, how free can you be?
Yeah, right. You can't be. The smart apps on the sleep apps or your smart bed. Just remember, there's new articles out today talking about the fact that it's taking data from your bedroom. So unless you want... I, for one, would not like that stuff tracked. I mean, I can't even imagine opening yourself up to data mines. Let's call them data mines.
You know, there's always those people, though, that say, well, if you're not doing anything, that you shouldn't be doing, then why would you worry about it? Well, you worry about it because once they get the system in place, then they decide to make a new law.
Yeah.
And the new law says you can no longer do this.
Right.
Now you're in trouble.
Yeah. I agree. We really, between the border problem, between all the issues that we talk about on the show, like Colonel Manis was saying, they've basically come up with a lot of reasons as to why not to to do what they said they were going to do. And that's why we're still sitting here in 2019. How do we get action? And really the action is going to have to come from those states taking the money and basically a state also booting all this data transaction to the curb. You know, a lot of this stuff is done federally. And we rely on federal for the wall because maybe it was earmarked as such. But since they're not doing anything, then we need to regroup, right? And so you'll see states' rights becoming more of an issue, more of something that needs to be talked about in this country. When we have federal people taking data, when we have the feds so busy doing so many things that hurt us as an entire nation, certain states are going to have to step out, just like they have with the abortion thing, just like they have with certain issues, and say, not in our state, and boot this to the curb. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that way we can actually choose where we live and do so meaningfully based on the issues that they're taking on and are not taking on. I'd love for my state to be able to do that. We're just wuss bags here, but.
Well, and we can also get out of that habit of saying, oh, well, they can't get it done, you know, raise our hands. Right. Oh, they can't get it done. I guess we'll have to wait, you know.
Yeah. But the states have to. They just, that's really all we have in our corner, because I see, like on the border, I see privatization with that. But I see that the states could get it done so much quicker if the states actually were worth their salt and said, we're not going to do this and we don't care about risking the federal money coming into us to buy us off from not doing it. We're going to do it anyway.
See, but even the guest mentioned that Louisiana, about half of their state budget comes from the feds.
Yeah.
So he said, I don't think they could, if they were a border state, what could they do? Because they'd stand to lose all that federal money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Lose the federal money.
Yep.
It's only going to hurt for a short time.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind a state of patriots in this country. I wouldn't mind living amongst people who actually really got it and supported that.
Yes.
And can say in the long term, it's kind of like your point on tariffs in the last hour. You know, what they're doing in the media right now is pushing, oh my gosh, Trump, because of raising tariffs on Mexico, everything's going to cost us.
Yes.
But
the expenses are going to go up. And that's true to a degree. Mm-hmm. That could happen.
Right.
If it doesn't work to get Mexico doing what he wants. But they're talking about this matter-of-factly, that it's going to end up on the backs of the consumers. Mm-hmm. But yet these are the same people that constantly say we need to tax the corporations more. They're not paying their fair share.
And well, that drives it up.
When you tax the corporations, corporations do not pay taxes. We, the people, pay those taxes. They just add it on to their products.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're paying it there. That's not mentioned.
No. They never talk about that.
But it's only mentioned if it's in a tariff war, and only mentioned when Trump's at stake, which is
right.
Kind of an interesting
little
battle.
Right. It's really to attack the president. They don't. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the tariffs. They don't care about any.
President
they just
Trump's
want to have a reason. That's right. The president doesn't care about the working class guy.
But our policy and regulations have never cost
that's
you money, right?
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? I love your point on
it's
that.
It's ridiculous. But yet, so many people are not aware. They like to have a villain to point at. The corporations, the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, the corporations are not villains. They're not even people.
Mm-hmm.
They're businesses.
Right.
And most of them are big public businesses that we can buy part of. We can buy stock in them. Most of us have pension plans that contain stocks.
Mm-hmm.
So when you tax a corporation and reduce those profits, sometimes you're hurting your own pension plan when you do that.
Yeah.
But people don't realize all this.
I love the hypocrisy of pointing out a problem that we have in multiple areas, but only assigning blame in one.
Yeah.
It's that hypocrisy that drives me crazy. And I also want to bring up when we come back, are we in a quiet revolution? Very interesting. Very interesting concept, a quiet revolution, when we come back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Wash away my troubles, wash away my pain, with the rain and shambala. Wash away my sorrow, wash away my shame, with the rain and shambala.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show here. Glad to have you, and lots to discuss. I've got Uncle Milty with me. Kate Daly shows on katedalyradio.com, katedalyradio.com, and, of course, played on all kinds of apps all around the globe and also on a local station near you. If you don't have it, call your local radio station, talk radio station, and ask them for the show. So we can be in your community, educating your community with all of our great hosts and co-hosts and all of the great guests. There's just I love all different views from all different kinds of ideologies too, because I want this show to be about discussion. When I had Dr. Duke Pesta on in the last hour, we were talking a lot about what's going on financially in this country and the poor versus the creation of the poor so that we can drive socialism in this country, right? So that they could use that because they had to have a cause, a reason. We're doing well. I mean, you know, there's not a whole lot of cause there, right? And what are we always getting told? Change. We have to change. Well, change kind of brought us to this strange point in history that we are. And it hasn't been good. We've walked away from everything that was sound, that had common sense, and that was based on principle, into this sort of new era of trying all of these outrageously bad policies and ideas to get us to this point where we're trying to figure out who we are. And so, what are they saying? Change is going to more of this is going to help us.
Yeah.
Kind of like the government's corrupt, let's grow it.
Yeah.
Mentality, right?
Exactly.
Let's make it bigger and more controlling. That'll fix everything. And so we were talking earlier, because if you go back in time and you look at this piece was from Fee, and it was very interesting, back to the 1300s and what we were like. And it was basically a Wat Tyler rebel leader, the principal leader of a revolt that started on May 30th. So kind of hearkening back to this anniversary of 1381. Can you even imagine what 1381 was like? And it was a man named Wat Tyler, and in a book called The Life and Legend of a Rebel Leader. And what it was about was this unpopular, well, back in 1215, Magna Carta had liberated the nobility a bit, but more broadly based English liberties were still kind of unrealized for the so-called masses. So an unpopular poll tax provided to be this sort of spark of this very violent outbreak of 1381. And in its first version, introduced in 1379 and slightly revised a little bit later, they imposed a universal fee of 4 pence per person over the age of 14. And Parliament contracted out its collection to private parties to whom it paid a commission. And then it didn't care what tactics those collectors employed, so as long as they got their money. So just envision an MS-13 being your auditor. They don't care what kind of tactics, as long as these private contractors got their money. It was a devious scheme to maximize revenue by combining government, the rapishness of government, with the efficiency of the private sector, utilizing the worst of the worst to collect the money. Well, of course, it promoted and provoked, I should say, the outrage. And this was a time when, if you even lived to 40 years old, you were dang lucky to be alive and breathing, because people did not last that long. This was in the 1300s. Mm-hmm. And so basically, he sort of got this movement going. And for the tax protesters, it was kind of, you know, the grounds to summon up that outrage to basically work against the government trying to do this to them. And I look at this time that we're in now, and being taxed to death. I see private businesses not being formed because people are kind of backing away. And I do see businesses happening. We released some of the regulation, but we haven't gone far enough. And what did work, even during this whole change movement that they wanted us to believe in, was the fact that we were able to use opportunity to grow in this nation and become something, or actually use it to help ourselves. This is why we don't have a nation steeped in poverty. And what caused us to react even over that one taxation? What caused us to rebel? And so is there more of a quiet revolution going on now? Do you see a quiet revolution going on now about what's
I really do. I see that more and more. I see that people are, you know, they're watching really close at what's going on right now in government. And they're seeing how failure after failure of the government to be able to act on our behalf. Mm-hmm. You know, the government does a lot of things. Mm-hmm. but they never do what's needed on our behalf. A perfect example is the border situation right now. The president is right. That border situation could be stopped immediately if Congress would just simply change the law.
Right.
And they know what needs to be done. They refuse to do it.
Yeah.
So this is what's causing people to sit back and say, you know, there's really something wrong with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they ignoring
this
problem? None of this
makes sense.
No, it doesn't. And that's that insecurity that it doesn't make sense, I think, is what's got people thinking, you know, we need to see something happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem is that over the last century, government has turned into, instead of being our ally, government is always against us, trying to divide us one against another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've become too top-heavy.
Yes.
To the point where we are, just like we were talking about with facial recognition and the data and everything, governments become so top-heavy and so in control. And this is what the people feared, and this is why they reacted the way that they did back in the 1300s. You know what it reminds me? It reminds me of the Monty Python clip. Out of control government. Remember walking around with the dead? Walking around, give me your dead. And the guy's like, I'm not dead yet. And actually, let me play it for you. This was so funny. Listen to this. This will make you smile today, thinking back to this time, because government hasn't changed. When government is given the grounds to do whatever government wants, they do create revolutions, whether it be violent or quiet. They
yes.
do create revolutions is the point. Here's the old Monty Python clip of an overzealous government collecting the dead, because like I said, if you lived to the age of 40 back in the 1300s, you were by far outstanding and lucky to be able to live that long. Here you go.
Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead!
I'm not dead!
Yeah, he says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I'm not!
He isn't?
Well, he will be soon. He's very ill.
I'm getting better.
No, you're not. You'll be stone dead in a moment.
Oh, I can't take him like that. It's against regulation.
I don't want to go on the car.
Oh, don't be such a baby.
I can't take him.
I feel fine.
Well, do us a favour.
I can't.
Well, can you hang around a couple of minutes? He won't be long.
No, I've got to go to Robinson's. They've lost 9 today.
Well, when's your next run?
Thursday.
You think I'll go for a walk?
You're not fooling anyone, you know. Look, isn't there something you can do?
I feel happy.
I feel happy.
Oh,
they batted him over the head and carted him away. Doesn't that remind you? That reminds me of government right now.
Exactly.
But I feel fine. No, you don't. You're dead.
Well, and we're laughing at this.
I know.
But the reality is that the more we complain that government's not doing what we need them to do, the more they're telling us, no, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. So accept our change. And as all these people are hitting the campaign trail, all you're hearing is their change will work and their change will help you. And I see the quiet revolution of people waking up and saying, not so fast. We're not buying into your, large load of crap that you're selling, the box of rocks that you're selling. I'm not, because it doesn't make sense. It hasn't made sense. And I can now look at history and know it's not making sense.
Well, you know, when I at first I thought it was ridiculous to see all these Democrats running in the primary. And now I'm starting to enjoy it. Because as I watch, I watched Gillibrand's to the town hall on Fox this weekend.
Right.
She kept saying, I think I'm the person that can bring us back together.
Really?
Yeah.
Goodness. None of government can bring us back together.
No.
And we're not. Anyway, hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys, have you ever heard the term eat our salt?
Yes.
Well, if we find somebody in government that's not doing their job because they've taken our salt as payment, right?
Right.
Well, they're fired immediately, and they never work for the government again.
There you go.
That's a lot more nicer than hanging them for treason.
That's true. Thank you. Really appreciate that. I mean, we're actually, I had an easy time in history.
Yeah.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate.
Hi,
hey,
there.
Uncle Milty.
Hi there.
You know, if the facial recognition thing was just to verify, you know, like you have a driver's license, okay, to verify that it's really you standing there to do some business, okay, maybe you'd let them have that inch. But I'm a product of the 60s, and I remember when we used to do various things during the protests and stuff,
mm-hmm.
how everybody was so freaked out to see people with cameras from the FBI out mm-hmm. in front of wherever you were protesting.
Right.
People who would go, I'm from Connecticut originally,
mm-hmm.
People who were tax protesters and would mm-hmm. go to a meeting held by Irwin Schiff, the great tax protester,
mm-hmm.
and how you see people from the IRS out there with cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, this is where it all goes, because once they've got your face in the database,
mm-hmm.
and once they have your DNA in the database,
yeah.
it's like, how invasive into your privacy, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, a lawful mm-hmm. assembly, and all these other rights, how far are they going to penetrate into that?
Yeah, I agree.
Completely.
Completely. I thank you for that. Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
Thank you for the point. Really appreciate it. Yeah. And when they can, how much more control they get. You know, that give me your dead clip was just, it was such a reminder for me as far as when the government is that much in control, the guy's going, but I'm happy, but I'm okay. No, you're not. Bonk. You know, you're done. And we are giving them total control. And I mean both sides of the aisle, not one. Both. We're giving both sides total control. It's not okay. And I think there is a quiet revolution of people waking up to the point where they're finally seeing it. Hey, that was the first step. We need to get, you have to get people to see it.
And what they're seeing is there really aren't two sides.
Mm-hmm.
There's the two sides are us and government.
Right.
Not Republicans and Democrats.
You're exactly right. It's us and government and the heavy hand of government. So they've had a game plan for a very long time as far as how to acquire more power. And like I've talked about, we talked about with Pesta, Dr. Pesta, the agendas at foot that were created to get their platform for power, to insinuate some sort of narrative to get us to buy it, then increase our taxes to pay for it, and it's all created. The whole poverty scam in America created, feminism created, gay rights all created by agenda so that they could actually push their narratives, right? There's a lot of narratives that they've been pushing. And so when are we pushing back, and how? Do we have a game plan? Do you have a game plan? Are we looking ahead and saying, you know, look here, something's really, really wrong with this and the way it's going. What is my game plan? I don't think we think in those terms. I think that we become in the defense mode of saying, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. But we don't actually create a game plan to contradict it, to protect our family from it, and to wake people up about it. And so that's, I know what this show does. And like you said, there's a lot of positive things going on right now that are speaking to that very wake-up call, like Candace Owens and her show, right?
She has a fantastic show. I've started to become a real fan of that show.
Yeah, I like Candace Owens.
And she's getting through to young African Americans and
waking them up
to reality,
mm-hmm.
not making them woke.
Yeah, yeah.
She's waking them up. That woke thing is nonsense. The woke mm-hmm. means you're believing my BS.
Right, right.
She's waking them up,
just
and it's
facts.
Working.
Just
yeah,
to facts
just
and
the facts.
Presentation of facts. And I think that's really why we do what we do. We're in a time when I can still say the things I said. I can still have the show I had on Friday. And if you listen to that show, you know what I'm talking about. We are living in a time right now where we can actually do this, where we can point this out. We don't have an MS-13 member at our door wanting taxes from us, as that article insinuated. We are right now, and like they used to do in the 1300s, we are at a time now when this is the best time ever in history to construct a plan of action to help us to be on the offense rather than the defense.
We're running out of time.
Mm-hmm, we are.
Because technology, if we don't turn this around soon enough, technology will give government the power to prevent us from turning it around.
Yeah, I know. That's where we're headed. Why do you think so many conservatives are headed towards podcast instead of being on the air? Why do we think that being on the air is so in danger? Because it is in danger, but we live at a great time to fight it, is my point. We can still fight this. We can still, even through quiet revolution, fight that. And I think that we need to see it in those terms rather than just take it in oh my gosh moments. We need to start figuring out how to best do that,
mm-hmm.
And make sure and shore up what we still have, because that's exactly why people are going to podcasts, because they can't get on the air,
right?
They can't get on the air and say the things that need to be said to wake up the populace. So Thanks again for joining us on a Monday. Be back tomorrow. Be faithful. Be fearless. Thank you, Uncle Milty.
Mm-hmm.
And KateDallyRadio.com will have the podcast of this show.